from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Can you switch it? The golden goal for the United States.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Duke gets it done.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Ben Solak. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on ESPN2 or here on Disney Plus or here on the ESPN app. Listening to us on ESPN Radio, we say hello to those out there. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, 12 to 3 Eastern every single day. We're heading to Indianapolis as soon as we are done this hour to finish up this Monday show. The show will be coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, over the next 4 days. We're excited about the guest list that we're cultivating, quite the caper. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial right now. Our phone lines are all lit here on the program. And writer Ben Solak, who's really taken a great look at the free agent class and the combine class. You should check out his article on ESPN, the app, ESPN.com. It's a comprehensive article. It took me two sittings to get through it all. Oh. And it gets you ready for the next 6 weeks of what's going down in the National Football League. That is very exciting with your team being on the clock. Everyone's on the clock. As I mentioned, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial on the program. The competition committee is meeting in Indianapolis. And Rich McKay, who is in charge of the competition committee, one of the top dogs there, he met with the media. By the way, and I love Rich, as he knows, whenever he, if you played a drinking game and him says the words "with respect to," you'd be drunk by the end of the press conference. And with respect to the tush push, apparently there's nothing on the table to reconvene the conversation that damn near banned it last year. And I know why. I know why. Why last year did it come so close to being banned? And this year, it's not even maybe going to be brought up for discussion. And the reason why is because the Eagles aren't beating you up with it anymore. They weren't able to make the Super Bowl with it. They weren't able to make the NFC Championship game with it. They were one and done with it. In their arsenal, they weren't as good at it this year. And then it's amazing, even with the tush push this year, wasn't as effective for the Eagles because they didn't win at all with it. But this year, what we saw out of the tush push is it became more impossible to officiate. Now you got these 4K cameras right down the line of scrimmage. And the number of times you would see the Eagles offensive line fire out too soon and no flag being fired out on it, you're like, what the hell is everybody looking at? Like, I would want the line judge down on his or her stomach on a tush push.
Right.
Like, honestly, like the lowest leveraged human for a tush push should be the official looking right down the line of scrimmage. This year, more than ever, we saw this play become more difficult to officiate, and yet it's not being discussed. And the reason why is because the Eagles didn't beat people up with it. wasn't the difference maker. Wasn't a major difference maker. So if anybody thinks, oh, tush push is now here to stay, it is until the Eagles start beating you up with it again. Tell me I'm wrong. Please, I'll take pushback. Anybody? Bueller?
I'm with you on this.
Is this the reason why it's not being mentioned right now? Is because it didn't. It wasn't part of Seattle's arsenal. Seattle's the only team in the playoffs to not go for it on fourth down a single time. And they have A.J. Barner to be their tush-push guy. They've used it. But the only team in the playoffs to not go for it a single time on fourth down was the Super Bowl winners.
That's kind of crazy.
That is.
And so now you can hear crickets from the competition committee room. Unless it does get talked about in the next 24-48. It's not like they've broken up and there's no owners complaining about it. I don't know. I guess keep it as is.
Well, this is why I said on the podcast that we did today that you can get wherever on our YouTube channel.
Overreaction Monday.
That the NFL owners and the competition committee, they blew it. They had their chance last year when this was at the forefront of everyone's mind.
They blew what?
They blew the chance to ban it.
Why does it need to be banned? As a matter of fact, this year we saw some plays run off it.
Because it's just ugly. It's not appealing.
I agree with you.
It's not football.
That's debatable, but...
Just a mosh pit? That's football to everyone?
You can't say because it's ugly. You got to do it.
That is it. The NFL is a television product, and it is not good television.
I would agree. Certainly when you've got cameras that can catch an offsides.
And they don't call it.
And catch a false start, and it's not called because
it's impossible. And oftentimes... Where is the spot?
You have no idea.
Get the first. Like,
it's a mosh pit.
Where is the ball?
I totally understand. I'm with you. After a while, I've said last year. I started by saying everybody just calm down, pipe down. Then I moved to the side of like it's just too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Same.
Certainly, it reached the height of absurdity. Was it Frankie Louvu? Of Washington?
Oh, yeah.
Who kept jumping over the line of scrimmage to stop it to the point where Son of Hockley had to basically say, like a dad on a long road trip, if you make me call this play, this penalty one more time.
Just give him a touchdown.
We're going to give him a touchdown.
Give it to him.
I'm going
to
pull this car over. I'm pulling this NFC Championship game car over, and I swear, if I've got to turn to you and tell you to knock it off one more time, it's a touchdown.
I remember tweeting, can he do that?
He can.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, Son of Hockley. You don't think he knows the rule book down to the nth degree and is willing to explain it to you in quatrain style?
Yeah. But Rich,
like
can you
Nostradamus?
What would have happened if the day that someone actually does just go, okay, now it's a touchdown? People are going to lose their blanks.
Well, it's in the rule book, both of them, the tush push and the ability for a referee to do it. Again, the reason why you're not hearing about it is because the team that won the Super Bowl didn't beat you up with it. And if they start greasing like telephone poles in Philadelphia again through the tush push being a major engine for it, and we're going to see it in three, if not maybe four playoff games with the whole country watching it, including the Super Bowl. If that happens, then it'll be forefront again in the competition committee. But until then, quiet as a mouse. 844-204 Rich, number to dial. Anthony in Miami, Florida. Let's take his phone call. What's up, Anthony?
Oh. Hey, I was listening to Lewis Riddick earlier talking about how teams should be looking at drafting Jeremiah Love. And I've been saying since the college football playoffs started that the Giants should be drafting him at number five, and for this reason. Jackson Dart has been under the concussion protocol four times this past season. And as Harry Douglas says on Freddie and Harry that comes after you, a quarterback's best ability is availability. And if you can keep Jackson Dart from running into brick walls, otherwise known as defensive players, to protect his head and stay on the field, then you draft somebody who can run the football, can catch the ball out of the backfield like a Jeremiah Love. And therefore, you give Dart another weapon to go with Scataboo, where you can work the play action off of that. The free agent pool for wide receivers is pretty good. You have Shaheed from Seattle's on it. If Dallas doesn't franchise, George Pickens. He's available. You've got some veterans that are for a one-year contract for $15 million. That's doable, especially since the Giants have taken Daniel Jones' cap hit off the books this offseason.
Anthony, I like all this. Let me just jump in here, if you don't mind me. I have a follow-up question for you. I'm from Staten Island, and Mike Del Tufo's from New Jersey. I'm going to give voice to what I believe you're thinking, Mike, and I'm thinking right now. You're not from Miami originally, are you, Anthony?
No, I'm New York City, born and bred.
New York South, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I will say, Anthony, or as friends of mine back when I was growing up might call you Antony. I will tell you this. Great idea. Great idea. Certainly, because again, if you think Scataboo needs to be spelled a little bit, that he might not be your bell cow back either, that you get a Sonic to go with his knuckles. And you've got, I mean, there's some other really, Wandale Robinson, sir, proved out last year, I think. This is not a bad idea. And thanks for the call, Anthony. I appreciate it. Here's what I would do if I'm the Giants. I let everybody know you love Jeremiah Love. I would let everybody sitting there at 6, 7, 8, and 9 know.
Come get him.
How much you are in love with Love.
That's my man's.
You know what I mean? Like, you love Love so much, you're going to create a boat. Shouldn't say where it's going, but
wrong team,
listen,
wrong team.
But that's you are a Love connection. You're back in 2-2. Okay.
There we go.
You are the Chuck Woolery of this draft.
Or Rich Woolery.
You are 100% in love with Jeremiah Love. And let everybody know, oh, okay, you think you want to beat the Saints to the punch.
Love
it. Oh, you want to beat the Commanders to the punch. Okay. Then there's the Browns sitting there at 6. You want to beat us to the punch. I would let everybody know that. Have them in for a visit.
Oh, we need this Love.
You know what I mean?
Oh, make sure you're seen.
Make sure you're seen out and about.
Them, yeah.
Have Malik Nabers throw a ball around with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Go out there in New York City and just make a show of it.
Yep. Don't let him fly through
all the hot spots.
We're good.
Yep. Put up a billboard.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Put a billboard up.
Put it up right there. And one of the jug handles right near your old house, right, Mike. Yep. You know what I mean?
Right on the corner.
Do it.
That's what I would do.
Caucus. Boom.
If I am the Giants.
Dinner at Delilah's.
I am open for business there at 5. Oh, yeah.
Go to Sparks.
That's not a bad idea. I didn't think about that until Anthony just called in. Talking about taking Love at 5 would be a splashy pick.
Oof.
And one that makes sense if you think the defensive side of the ball is handled.
Oh, Caleb Downs is right there.
I know Downs, but so is Carnell Lake.
Yeah.
So is him, man. I mean Carnell Tate, pardon me. So is Tate. And him and Malik Nabers would be really chef's kiss.
Let's not let them get too good.
But love with Scataboo.
I mean, now we're talking.
I don't love that too much.
That's pretty fun.
Dart loves Scataboo, Neighbors, Robinson.
Settle down just a little bit.
Tracy's still nice.
Hey, Theo Mr. Johnson. Penn State over there, tell me about Theo Johnson, right?
Theo Johnson's nice.
Sam TJ Watson.
Don't make these guys good. Come on.
Well, they're going to be better. You know they're going to be better.
Yeah, unfortunately.
The question is how significantly better. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Let's go with Love. You always go with Love. All you need is Love. Hey now.
Hey now.
Let's go. Where else should I go? I'll go. Jared in San Diego has been waiting for a long time. What's up, Jared?
Hey, Rich. I'm so happy you're taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I got a couple games, a couple questions for you as far as NFL and movies.
Okay.
Before I tell that, though, I did see the Miracle on Ice in 1980 live on TV. I was very, very patriotic and felt so proud to be there.
Good. What else you got?
My question is, I know the Seahawks have a 32nd spot. What do you think they're going to do with the first spot for that draft and free agency?
Whew. And what's your movie question?
Oh, your counterparts have never seen the funniest movie of all time.
And that is?
You and I have seen it.
Okay.
It is the Mad World.
Okay. You were going way back, Jared. You were going way back right there on that way back machine.
Well, I tell you something. I saw it so many times, and I heard you talk about it a couple of years ago, and you said, hopefully you guys have never seen this movie. It's Jerry Lewis, Jack Benny, Three Stooges.
Yeah,
it's one of the greats of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Phil Silver, all of them. Phil Silver's. Thanks for the call, Jared. Jared in San Diego. I know this is a cop-out when somebody's like, what do you think my team's going to do? With the Seahawks, what do you think they need, right? What do they need? You just saw them. Not much, right?
Steamrolled everyone.
Right? You know what I mean? Not much. You want to add another receiver? What are we going to do?
Sure.
Alignment? Like, I think you just get deeper on either line, or is there a corner that you like a lot?
Well, what are you going to do with Kenneth Walker? Is he coming back or not?
I would think he would. Why wouldn't he?
Because someone's going to give him.
Man wants to get paid.
More money than the Seattle's willing to give
Board him. Boardman gets paid. So it's like, is he coming back? No. Okay, let's say no.
So then, you're not going to draft a running back in the first round.
No, but you're going to get some depth in this draft. You're going to get one or two running backs.
I don't know. I just think they just keep amassing more of what they have.
Yeah.
Whoever's the best at that spot available. And I know that sounds like a cop-out.
But it's accurate for them.
By the way, he's referring to a really old film.
1963, I just looked it up. It
is, but I watched that over and over and again as a kid. That used to be on Channel 11 or Channel 9 on a rotation, man. Spencer Tracy, back in the day.
Buddy Hackett.
Oh, yeah. Some great, funny people in that movie.
Yeah.
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Okay.
Let's watch Blazing Saddles this week.
Oh,
I hadn't seen that in a while.
Susie and I are watching the 99-year-old man documentary on Mel Brooks on HBO.
It's amazing. I meant to ask you about
We just watched the first one. We haven't watched the second one because we have too many kids that just ruin it. What is this on? I think Zan's at home too. He and Suze are out east right now.
What I've
deep
seen
in
of
the,
it,
deep in the snow.
I haven't watched the whole thing.
Schools, huh?
I haven't watched the whole thing, but it's amazing.
But Blazing Saddles.
I mean, yeah, I hadn't seen Blazing Saddles probably like 2 years. So it was
Governor William J. LePetitme.
Hedley Lamar.
Help me in with this. Okay, I can't finish
it.
All right. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Ben Solak is going to tell us about free agents available and combine and so much more coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast. In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I was up with Zan on a little camping overnight that he had with his class.
You were camping?
With a GL in front of it, yeah. A little bit.
He wasn't in a tent, let's just say.
Yeah, at any rate.
Okay. Winnebago?
He's hanging out with his friends, and I'm like, what reading can I do? And I came upon our next guest's article on who's available in free agency by position, and then who's available in the combine by position, and what teams should be able to think about. Do they want to? Because that's the conversation to be had over the next few weeks, is building your roster and how best to find your person through the draft and how best to find them through free agency, which is first. And if you don't get them in free agency, then what do you do in the draft? And it's a fascinating puzzle that this is required reading, I think, for all of us here, to be honest with you. It took me two sittings to get through it. But thankfully, Zan was having so much fun with his friends at camp. I got through it because it was really good. Ben Solak here on the Rich Eisen Show, ESPN national NFL analyst. Check out his work on the ESPN app and ESPN.com. Good to see you, Ben. How are you?
Well, my editor appreciates that two settings comment. Now I'm going to have to turn in shorter copy moving
no,
forward.
No, don't do so that. No. By the way, to heck with that, because I understand this day and age, is, even the New York Times tells you how long the read is going to be for you to click on it. I don't care. It's comprehensive. You gave me some terrific information, and it is soup to nuts. And again, like what I just said that really struck me is, what do you do when you're in a position of need and you look at the combine and then you look at free agency and then you're like, do you have a plan for free agency that you then need to back up if you don't get your guy, or do you change up midstream? And which is the deepest position, combine and free agency, going into the next few weeks in your estimation?
Ben. Edge rusher for sure. There's so many guys, right? And that's before we even get to the Max Crosby trade. Like, just free agency wise, Trey Hendrickson is up and Jalen Phillips are up. Both those guys are big deals. Odafe Owe, who had an enormous year with the Chargers right after the trade from the Ravens. Mm-hmm. His film, like, I was much more impressed watching back on film, where I was like, oh shoot, like this feels like, 10, 12 sack guy. But then you get deeper, right? And you start talking about the boy Amafe, who's coming out of Seattle. You know, he's available. Caleb on Chasen, Joey Bosa is up this year. Like, there's just dudes on dudes at edge rusher this year in free agency. And if there's not a particular body type that you're looking for, the draft is great this year for these like bigger, longer, stronger guys. Zion Young out of Missouri, Gabe Jackus out of Illinois. There's some like denser dudes. If you can't find an edge rusher in this class, man, then you can't find an edge rusher. Like, I don't know what to tell you. There's so many guys this year.
Yeah, I think Mac as well is available if you want to go snag him. So there's some real OGs. And again, I'm just wondering the fact that Tank Lawrence, after a decade in the business, being added to Seattle, where they love just constantly churning one defensive lineman fresh off the bench after another, that might not be another reason why you could just sit back and maybe get an OG, get somebody who's been at it for a while.
Lawrence is a really important name to bring up because he was so good on running downs for Seattle. The way Seattle's defense works, they need their defensive ends to play like a gap and a half, right? Some of that run-stopping two-gap stuff. Lawrence was the second-best edge in the league by run-stop EPA this year. Only Crosby was better. And so, like, he's a 30-year-old coming off a foot injury, but he's always been so good on rushdowns. So you look at a Khalil Mack, who, is he beyond his peak as a pass rusher? Absolutely. But the rushing down stuff is crazy. And, like, if you're going to run this Jesse Minter, Mike McDonald defense that's proliferating, you need at least one edge who's like a capital D dude in the running game. Mac fits that mold. Jadeveon Clowney's up. He's always been that guy. Kingsley Anagbare from the Packers is up. Like, if you need your run-stopping defensive end, which now is a little bit of a prototype these days, he's available this year.
What about the middle of the defensive line? What about that group, Ben?
It's such a bad year for defensive tackle. I have no idea why, like, if it had something to do with the market or how contracts got signed, but Milton Williams last year was like our big free agent surprise, $26 million, huge contract. This year, the best free agent defensive tackle is John Franklin Myers, who was a rotational guy for the Broncos, still a good player, a little bit older. And then after that, it is Calais Campbell, if he wants to come back. It's David Onyemata. It's Sheldon Rankins. It's a lot of like the familiar, 1 year, $6 million guys that we typically hear about. It is not a good year for defensive tackle. And then the draft is a lot of unsure dudes. Peter Woods out of Clemson, Caleb Banks out of Florida. We expect both these guys to go round one, but it's more of like a, ooh, weird class, you know, positional value, less of like, oh my gosh, Dexter Lawrence is in this class. It's not that caliber. So defensive tackle this year, I don't think it's going to be the year you see a lot of movement. It might be some weirdly big contracts in free agency, just as guys go like, you know, reaching for the middle tier of it, options, because the top tier isn't there at all.
You know, I'm trying to put two and two together here because we had Kyle Van Noy on this show last week, Ben, and he was talking about how, you know, he feels defensive tackle is becoming the elite defensive line grouping now because edge rushers sometimes can't get to the quarterback fast enough in this day and age of a quick release, in this day and age of maybe chipping guys along with your left tackles, and that the defensive tackle group is more of a I guess Tiffany grouping right now. And you're saying that there's few on the market. Maybe it's just because, you know, teams that won't let them go. Like, they're going to re-sign these guys, right?
Yeah, these guys are getting re-signed. And we also, like, if you look at just the final four teams, Seattle against the Rams, the NFC, Broncos against the Patriots and AFC, those teams are defined by the defensive tackle play, right? Christian Barmore and Milton Williams going against Zach Allen and Malcolm Roach. You know, what Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk have been on the interior, Puna Ford there with Seattle. And then we all know with the Rams, we all know with Seattle, Byron Murphy there and Dexter Lawrence. Like, you have to build defenses through the spine. That's what we're seeing in the modern NFL. Up the middle, right? Starting defensive tackle and then moving back to linebacker and to safety. So these guys are getting secured for big contracts now because the market was a little bit depreciated. They weren't getting those big deals. So once we realize their value, oh, it's easy to sign them and sign them. Now you're seeing that top of the market expand where Milton Williams is getting that huge money, where Jeffrey Simmons and Chris Jones are signing these massive extensions. When guys like Jalen Carter and Kobe Turner start to hit free agency in the next 1 to 2 years, that's when you're going to see, okay, this market really takes off. And now maybe we'll see a little bit of a settling down and we'll see some more guys enter free agency.
And ESPN NFL writer Ben Solak, fresh off of the article I read over the week, and a soup to nuts full primer on who's available free agency and combine over the next 6 weeks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The deepest offensive grouping then, the where you're happy that you're in the market right now for this position because they're deep at the combine and free agency is what, Ben?
Interior offensive line, which there's not a lot of centers as per usual because there's only 32 guys. Like, that's not a spot that we see a ton of movement, but Tyler Linderbaum is in this class, and Linderbaum's probably going to dramatically reset the center market if he gets out of Baltimore. Even if he stays in Baltimore, we're looking at who he's going to beat Creed Humphrey and have that biggest deal. And then it's the guard spot, where David Edwards has been great from Buffalo. You have Isaac Samalu coming out of Pittsburgh. Elijah Vera Tucker, who's an easy guy to forget. He missed the entire season with a torn triceps, but he was looking at being one of the highest paid guards before he started to get hurt. Interior offensive line is one of those spots that is more modular in the NFL. It is easier to go get a guy from a different system, drop him in, and get immediate success out of that player. I know there's some teams right now, like the Lions, who are telling me, no, it's not that easy. But in general, it is an easier thing to do. And so you should expect to see a lot of interior offensive line movement in free agency. And then draft-wise, we've got a good number of bodies this year, right? Center is weirdly undersized. There's a lot of smaller zone dudes. If you need a big center, you're kind of in trouble. But there's Francis Mauinoa, who's out of Miami, might be a top five pick who gets moved to guard. Emmanuel Pregnant out of Oregon. Vega Ione out of Penn State. We're expecting, I would say, about four top 50 guards to go in this class. And so it's a good year to need a guard. And, you know, every team needs offensive line improvement.
And what about skilled position for all due respect to offensive line?
You see,
folk?
When you say offensive position, my head goes to the guys in the trenches, right? That's what we got.
I got you. Because, you know, Ben, this is a fantasy football world we live in.
Right.
You know, come on.
Ben, running backs, this year for running back free agent class is great, right? You're looking at Breece Hall at the top. You guys were talking about Kenneth Walker coming out of Seattle before the break. Travis Etienne as well. And then there's, like, a great mystery box tier. There's the Rico Dowdle coming to free agency again. He had 1,000 yards with the Cowboys. Didn't get the big deal. Had to take the 1 year with the Panthers. And then had 1,000 yards that season, too. And so you have Rico back in here. Tyler Allgeier is in this market. He was a 1,000-yard rusher for the Falcons before they drafted Bijan Robinson. Allgeier's a guy I'm really excited to see where he goes. Kenneth Gainwell, who obviously showed you, hey, if you have a quarterback who just wants to throw it to the back, I could be a 90-catch player over the course of a full season if you want. It's a really, really cool rotational group of backs this year. And the class for running back is really rough after Jeremiah Lovett. It is not a good year in the draft for running backs.
And Why do you say that?
Not a lot of rotational players, but when we talk about rotational players coming out of the draft, those guys usually take some time to get on the field because they have to learn NFL protections. It's a lot harder to get a rookie out there as your third down back as opposed to just getting Kenneth Gainwell and plugging and chugging. And so weak year for running back after Love. The second best back in this class is probably Love's backup at Notre Dame. Jadarian Price is most likely going to be RB2 off the board. So this is going to be a year where I think you see Walker, Breece Hall, definitely, and then Travis Etienne as well, get more money than you're thinking right now in the open market, because nobody wants to draft any of these guys after Jeremiah Love.
Ben Solak here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess maybe that's why, you know, Dallas is like, yeah, let's sign Javonte Williams, right? Like, interesting. So maybe Kenneth Walker stays in Seattle, right? I don't know, but that's a pretty deep. You named some really good professional running backs that are going to be hitting free agency unless they get franchise tagged.
Yeah. Ben. Before the playoffs, I would have told you Kenneth is staying in Seattle. 70% yes, 30% no.
Right.
After that postseason, I mean, the young man made himself $3 million a year easily, right? I mean, he was highly explosive, three straight games of 100 yards from scrimmage. He showed more as a receiver, obviously wins the Super Bowl MVP. To me, if I'm Kenneth Walker's agent, anything below the Josh Jacobs deal, which was 4 years, $48 million, $12 million per year, I'm laughing at, right? Not after, we just won a championship, all right? I would like to see my guy get paid. And Seattle's got free agents, right? They have Rashid Shaheed, they potentially need to sign. Kobe Bryant starting safety is up this year. Reek Woolen, corner's up for them this year. And so they might not want to be in with Walker at that price tag, especially because there are the Tyler Algiers and Kenneth Gainwells available, and Rico Dowdle in this class. And so I would say now Walker, percent chance he stays in Seattle, I'd put it like 45%. I think that it's closest to a coin flip, but if you made me guess, water gun to my head, I think he gets out of Seattle.
Okay, and then the concept of the wide receiver market, how does it look, Ben?
Yeah, wide receiver's tricky because there's always guys, because we play three of them on every single snap, and we have wide receiver four still does stuff for us. Like, there's always bodies on bodies on bodies. So you kind of have to measure it just against past years of wide receiver. You can't measure it against like center, where there's only ever one or two dudes available. This year, I would not say is a strong wide receiver class. Free agent, there's some good rotational players. Juwan Jennings is a great blocker. Wandale Robinson in the slot. Rashid Shaheed, the speed element. Those guys are there. And then there's a couple of, okay, can you be like a real wide receiver one or two for me? That's Alec Pierce out of Indianapolis, who, you know, led the league yards per reception, yards per target, air yards per target this year. Explosive downfield player. Can he run some more routes? Can he be a little bit more of a three-level weapon for us? There's Mike Evans. We have no question that he can be that, but how long in the tooth is he? How healthy is he coming off a little bit of an injury-riddled season? And then Romeo Doubs, who's really quite the conundrum out of Green Bay. Everybody I talk to, film, everybody likes Romeo Doubs. Like, there's no question it's good play. Why did he never fully control wide receiver one? Why did he never start demanding targets and consolidating there? He had the exact same target per route share over all 4 years in Green Bay, like 22%, just like solid, eddy steady wide receiver two Jacoby Myers play. So nobody really knows exactly how high that ceiling is. And so a few guys who might be, you know, able to have big impacts on their next team. I think Pierce is going to make somewhere around $24 million per year, the Nico Collins deal, but you're still squinted. You're still trying to see the forest through the trees a little bit with Pierce. It's not a knockout year for wide receiver and free agency.
Well, how do you handicap the quarterback carousel over the next 6 weeks, combine and draft? Because again, at combine, you know, we'll talk, we had Lewis Riddick on hour one. He's talking about Ty Simpson, Nussmeier, Beck. Right. Mm-hmm. After that, you're really beginning to get further down, one would think, a draft list. And then free agency, Stafford's not in this mix. Rodgers, if he's in it, he's only going to one team. Mm-hmm. How do you see it, Ben?
Yeah, it's Lewis's job to hype up the Nussmeiers and the Becks of the world. It's my job to be like, listen, we're trading for Spencer Rattler before we're drafting one of these guys. You know, like, there's certainly, you know, there's mystery box potential there. There's dart throw in the dark potential there with some of those guys. But I think you're going to see a really active year trading for quarterback twos on the bottom of some of these rosters. If you think about the Colts, if they give Daniel Jones a multi-year deal, I'm calling about Anthony Richardson. And I'm seeing if I can, you know, put him next to Jacoby Brissett in a camp battle and see if they can win that out. Spencer Rattler, who I thought really improved year one to year two, but then lost the job to Tyler Shuck. He's who the new coaching staff had invested in. But the film is pretty good on Spencer Rattler. Tanner McKee, who's there with the Eagles. Will Levis with the Tennessee Titans. He lost the job to Cam Ward. You're going to see these guys get investigated as trade options because the quarterback class is just so perilously thin behind Fernando Mendoza. And so the teams that miss out on Kyler and Tua, which I think, you know, about 6-7 teams that have a need, there's Kyler, Tua, and then there's the Malik Willis free agent carousel. After that, you're gonna have three or four teams left wanting, and to me, those teams are going to take the big home run swing. Nobody thinks it's gonna connect. It's not sexy, it's not exciting, but if you can get a rookie contract starter out of Spencer Rattler, it kind of saves your job for a couple of years. So to me, what I'm looking for when I head to Indianapolis and, like, you know, the scuttlebutt on some of these young quarterback twos who aren't going to break into quarterback one in their own team, mm-hmm. but can I go trade a middle round pick for them instead of, you know, spending it on a Carson Beck?
Tell me the teams that are going to do that. And, you know, yeah. I mean, because this is that's a gamble, man. I understand you're like, you know, hey, camp battle between Jacoby Brissett and Anthony Richardson. Or,
yeah, it doesn't get you fired up, does it?
Or camp battle between veteran and Tanner McKee or whatever. I mean, it could make sense on paper, and it could make sense in a room where you're stacking players on a board or on a grease board, but then you got to sell it to a fan base, and you got to play football with it with a head coach that needs to win games more likely than not. Give me the teams that would take a flyer on your methodology right there, Ben Solak.
So I think Miami has to take a lot of cap lumps this year in order to get off the Tua deal. And we already know they're moving on from Tyreek Hill. They might be trading more players. So I think Miami's going to be a team that tries to be in the Malik Willis sweepstakes. John Eric Sullivan, he's from Green Bay.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's one thing. Yeah. Malik Willis, you had me at hello there. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think he's going to have his choices. And I think he's going to have teams that are like, we want you. And he'll be like, yeah, the roster's not there. I don't know about the coach. Like, I think he's going to have choices this time around.
I 100% agree.
I'm like, which team is going to say, I will, instead of drafting a kid, I'd rather take a flyer and see if he's my next one or a bridge quarterback even. Like, who's going to do that?
So I think the Jets, we know that Aaron Glenn likes mobile quarterbacks. They have Justin Fields there on like their veteran deal. I think you can sign Malik Willis for roughly the same deal, probably a little bit more. The Jets, the Browns to me are a team where Todd Monken just worked with Lamar Jackson. That's a very copy and paste offense in terms of stylistically how Willis plays and how Lamar plays. Arizona is the other team. Monty Austin Ford, general manager there, was in Tennessee when Malik Willis was drafted by the Titans. So I think those three teams are going to be aggressively in on Willis along with the Dolphins. Like I said, that Packers familiar. And I just don't think the Dolphins have the cap to last in a bidding war if that's where this gets for Willis. And like, I don't think Willis is going to get insanely overpaid, but it is not a year to walk into the draft with a quarterback need. I can't stress that enough. And so I think Willis, you know, if I had to go between, there's that Justin Fields deal at $20 million per year, and then the next highest deal is Baker at $30 million, excuse me. There's like a $10 million gap between those two deals. He's going to land somewhere in there, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's closer to the Baker deal. And so those are the teams to me that go in on Willis. And then if you can't get that done and you're sitting there and you don't have draft capital to move on from because you're a rebuilding team, then you have to be looking at these younger quarterback twos as your bridges into 2027 and a much better quarterback class.
Ben, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. And thanks for the great read and great information. You helped me get set for the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate Rich. You take care.
You bet. That's Ben Solak. All everybody, right, check out his article on ESPN, the app, and ESPN.com if you are more of an online internet type. I got some thoughts on all of this stuff. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit it. 844-204-RICH. Also, the number down. We'll sneak in a call before we head on out to Indianapolis.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play, people, when it comes to your home. Pella Windows and Doors always has that winning game plan for you. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Again, everyone should check out the work of our guest that we just hung up on from Zoom. And Ben Solak,
our colleague.
Yeah. I will push back a little bit here. I don't think anybody's number twos are available.
At quarterback, you mean?
Why would they be? Why would they be?
Yeah, it seems like why? Every year we see 60 starting quarterbacks in a season. There's no reason.
The only reason why like Richardson might be available is he's getting a little bit more expensive in his rookie contract. What, Tanner McKee's so expensive that they got to, and that he's not going to play behind Jalen Hurts that you need to go get him? Honestly, Mac Jones, in my estimation, is the most likely candidate to be the next Sam Darnold of anybody else.
Ooh, interesting.
Of anybody else. Oof. Again, chosen in the middle of the first round. Had a nice first year doing the gritty at the Pro Bowl, right? Second year falls off. Then whatever the heck happened with him and Belichick, he needed to go to Camp Peterson down in Jacksonville, and now he's in Camp Shanahan. And you saw what he looked like when he got the shot for a month. He took the shot. He got the shot.
Got the shot.
Right? He's actually in the Shanahan system that everybody credits for Sam Darnold's reset. And Brock Purdy was not available for some time this year, and Mac Jones kept the Niners so afloat, they almost won the one seed. And by the way, if the Niners had won that one seed game against the Seattle Seahawks in the final Saturday of the regular season, the Rams would have been third in their division. I mean, that's how crazy that game was, a sliding door for the entirety of what followed. So why would the Niners make him available? Yeah. Unless you blow them away with the Godfather offer. I don't think anybody's twos are going to be available, because there, but for the grace of the football gods, go you. That you're now down to a new number two that's not as good as the two that you had. Look at the Minnesota Vikings this year. They were stuck with a number three quarterback because their number two got hurt and the number one couldn't stay healthy. Why would you take that safety net out? You're going to, so if, even if the Colts give Daniel Jones a long-term deal, coming off an Achilles, you're going to trade away Anthony Richardson because why? He's too expensive to keep as your backup? Hell no.
I shouldn't.
Spencer Rattler? Yes, he's not going to play very much because Tyler Shuck's the guy there now. But why would they trade him? Why would they trade him? Yeah, but for the grace of one snap against, you know, anybody, they're going to need Spencer Rattler to keep things afloat. You can't just trade your twos anymore. I don't think anybody's going
to
do it.
Or you have to overpay for them.
Especially not after
well,
that
you're
conversation
have to.
We had.
Yeah. Paul in Syracuse, New York. What's up, Paul?
Oh, Syracuse.
Rich Eisen, baby. What's up, guys?
Hey. What's up?
Hey.
You know, Brockman said this last year, that the juiciest, best content you put out, Mr. Rich Eisen, is the rumors that you get from the combine. And now that it's picking up a lot of steam, are you worried about people trying to bribe you, get the rumor onto the show and make it there on the old YouTube and the Rich Eisen show and ESPN and all that? So I'm curious the process. How do you vet these out? How do you crack the top five now that's picking up a lot of steam?
Well, Paul, if you're calling me an influencer, you're right. Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's what he was saying.
That's all he wasn't?
I mean, hopefully he didn't say that.
What's Paul pointing out?
Maybe he meant that.
Paul, if somebody said, if I hear it twice, I need to hear it from two different people.
Two sources?
Okay. Yeah.
Got a sec. Oh, Mike, what do you mean two sources?
What are you so surprised about over there, Mr. Seton Hall? What are you so surprised about?
Honestly.
I've got to hear it from two different people.
Three, four?
Two people have got to say something to me at the very least for me to at least do that.
But think about it. Think about it.
And Paul, I just suss it out. If somebody's coming up and saying, let me feed Rich some information so he could say it in a segment, then, you know, I got a BS meter. You know what I mean?
Is there an extra level? Because I know we get like a top five on the show. Is there like a Rich Eisen Patreon for the ones that just missed out on the list? You know?
No, I don't
top
think 10? So.
Top 15?
Now we're talking.
I don't know, Paul. But I appreciate it. By the way, I appreciate the process questions right here. Well done, Paul. Thanks so much.
See you, buddy.
It's Paul in Syracuse. How to let him go before he asked me about an OnlyFans page.
Oh, God, Rich.
I think we'd clean up, honestly.
Oh, no, we would not.
Only fan.
Let's go to, where are we going here? You want to go to Andrew in Newcastle, Pennsylvania?
Andrew,
What's up, Andrew?
Rich, what is going on?
It's on your mind.
Before I start, I just got to say that the show, the daily grind of the Rich Eisen show is no joke. You guys are all awesome.
Thank you.
I love the energy and the sports takes you guys give. So I just got to ask, what do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do about their franchise quarterback, and do you think he's on the roster right now?
I don't know. Will Howard is the only guy that, with all due respect to Mason Rudolph, who one of Cooper's friends hot taked saying he's the next Sam Darnold. I don't know. Let's see what Will Howard looks like. He certainly showed he's got some gumption, you know.
Or and do we take a quarterback in the hometown? The draft is in Pittsburgh this year. It's going to be a big year. Do we take him this year?
I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah,
I don't know. Unless Ty Simpson starts showing out and starting next week. And thanks for the call, Andrew, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. In the same way that we sensed that Anthony from Miami was not from Miami. I'm getting the sense that our last caller literally was from Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Hometown. Sounded like he just came from the set of Task.
So good.
Or the Pit. Yeah, I don't know. I think the Steelers go and get Aaron Rodgers, and let's see what he can do. Yeah. Let's see if they can win and make some real hay in Mike McCarthy's first year, and they can assess what Will Howard is to them. But what are they going to use a first? If Rodgers comes back, you're not using your first round pick on somebody that's not helping.
Yeah.
You're not Rodgers. Hey, Rodgers comes back.
It's been
what are you
going to
trade up for him? Trade up for like that ain't happening, guys.
It's been done before.
Yeah. I don't think they want any piece of that.
Worked out for the team that did it.
I know that.
Actually, yeah,
I don't think that's happening again.
Saying?
You're going to get somebody that can actually help right here, right now, and then you'll worry about the quarterback another day.
All right.
For our radio, we'll chat next in Indianapolis. We'll finish this show up on ESPN Disney Plus in a sec.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.